Previously on 24.
How much of the virus was released?
Enough to kill everyone in the building.
Did you plant any other vials?
My assignment was the hotel.
So there are others?
Yes. 11.
Alvarez planted a vial containing the Cordella virus in the ventilation system, and it went off as Gael was trying to disarm it. No one can be allowed to leave the building. We have to impose a total quarantine. As people realize what's going on, there'll be widespread panic.
They're lying to us.
It's inside the building!
Keep away from the door! Stay back!
Hold back!
If you try to leave, I will shoot you.
No, you won't.
He knows who you are, Jack.
Who knows who I am?
Don't presume to tell me about Jack Bauer. That's what he said.
You go up against him, you're a dead man.
Ms. Bauer.
Hello, Jack. I knew you were better than Amador, but you're not better than me.
I need you to put me in touch with a friend of yours.
Mr. President, the man in possession of the Cordella virus has demanded to speak with you.
You are no longer in control of your country.
And if you do not use the full power of your office to execute my wishes, the virus will be released, and it will be impossible to stop.
The following takes place between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Everybody, stay calm! Stay calm and quiet!
Or I'll shoot you.
I'm Bob Cochran, co-creator, executive producer, and co-writer of this episode.
Ray Goilsworth, that's me shooting a gun.
And I'm Carlos Bernard. I'm married to that chick.
In a moment, I will get on the intercom and explain why. I need absolute quiet and absolute cooperation.
As you can see, this is the episode where Reiko's character, Michelle Dessler, really stepped up and became just as tough as she needed to be, and she did a great job. She's been behind a desk. Now we see that she can handle things in the field, too.
Yeah. I have pockets now. That was the most exciting thing. I got pants with pockets.
You got to shoot somebody, too.
Yeah.
Come on.
That was fun. We set up, until we set off the fire alarm.
Right. Interesting, you shot him in the back and not in the leg.
I know. We were talking about that for a while, but the whole issue was...
Can't take any chances. He's got to be stopped.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
he's got to be stopped.
When an officer, you know, an officer is told when someone is posing a lethal threat, if they have a gun pointed at someone, you shoot to kill. And basically, him leaving the building, if he was able to escape, he'd be killing a huge population.
Right.
So,
I think that's right.
I thought that was justified. Mm-hmm.
This is the great thing about our show, I think, is these small roles, the actors that come in and perform these small roles are just fantastic, you know?
They were consistently such amazing actors. The extras in this were amazing. I could barely keep it together just watching them.
That's important, too, because so much of the show depends on the audience feeling that although the heroes may be CTU agents and the president and so forth, what's happening could affect them, could affect anyone, could affect ordinary people.
Right.
So for the small parts and the extras and so forth to be convincing is a huge part of the impact of the show.
Well, and that's the line between it being cathartic and it being exploitation, because, I mean, if we keep it as realistic as possible, then we're not exploiting the fact that people are terrified of these things, you know, are completely terrified. I'm terrified of these.
Of course, yeah.
These things.
Of releasing this virus to control me and through me the entire apparatus of our national government. Obviously, we cannot let that happen.
I understand, sir.
Find him, Jack.
We're doing everything we can. I'll keep in touch.
Thank you.
With Amador dead, we got two leads left. First, whoever this guy is says he knows me. Second, he knows Alvarez.
Guy planned the virus at the hotel.
Poor Badge, he's so beat up at this point. He's just the whipping boy of the show.
And he ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
I know.
Exactly.
who this man is.
But he knows Bauer.
Apparently.
David, how's that possible?
I don't know, Wayne. All I know is they're doing everything they can to find this man.
Did he give Bauer any indication of what he wants?
No.
We didn't make a real big deal out of the connection between Bauer and the bad guy, but we thought it added a little something to it that they had a previous history, at least.
Oh, yeah, that line, I think it was in the previous episode where he says, we left him behind, I left him behind.
Yeah.
That added a lot to it. This guy, oh, he was great.
He's very good, Doug, the manager.
He was fantastic, and I read that role, and I thought, oh, you really have to get a really wonderful actor so he doesn't seem just this spineless or, you know, he came off as both brave and competent, but a civilian, not someone equipped to handle this.
Yeah, right. Scared, but forcing himself to do his job, which is exactly what we needed. Yeah.
And that's, oh, he, I thought, he totally pulled that off amazingly. Yeah.
Isn't there a scene later where you see him?
Oh, and he's bleeding and he has to talk to his wife.
Yeah.
It just broke my heart because he really was trying to keep it together. And it is this sense, and I think, you know, we tried to play this really, you know, you're trying to do your job, but you've been given a few hours to live. And that's what my character thinks at this point. Yeah. What do you do?
How are you doing?
I'm fine so far. I just...
What?
Things got crazy. I had to shoot a man. He was trying to get out of the hotel. He was dead.
Michelle, you did what you had to do. The only thing you could have done. You need to stay focused, all right?
I know, I am. I had to shoot him, but it was kind of fun.
You really meant to say, I got to shoot a man.
Oh, actually, my niece saw that. And she's 6 years old, and I told my mother not to let her see, but she wanted to see a little bit, and she saw the shooting, and she's ever since, she's, you're in trouble, Auntie Reiko. You're in big, you shot a man. No, no, it wasn't real. Oh, you're going to go on timeout.
Timeout.
So, I'm on a major timeout.
Timeout.
Oh, these hazmats. The production of this show is really,
it really is.
It's, you know, we talk about how long our shooting season is, but, you know, most shows don't land helicopters in the middle of the streets and have these... You know, look at that. That's amazing.
I think the production guys make most of our shows look like small features.
Yeah.
Which is terrific.
Yeah. And the music.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
the music. Yeah. We were just talking about that. It was amazing. Lothair, he is amazing.
He was so great.
Yeah, Black Robe, Jesus of Montreal. I was so thrilled when we got him. He does this sort of trapped sewer rat thing.
Yeah.
With his eyes darting around. Doesn't he have that look?
Yeah,
but
he does.
But a handsome trapped sewer rat.
Yes.
Maybe Desi's got that sort of wormy quality. It's great.
The French trap.
He just, oh man, he just brought this scene with the tears just coming down. He was just, and every take.
When was the last time you saw him?
3 hours ago at a go parlor in Chinatown.
Go parlor is a nod to Michael Losef, who's a go player.
I'm addicted now.
Are you really good playing?
Did you?
No, I've never played.
Mary Lynn, she's hilarious. I went and saw her stand-up.
Are you kidding me? I didn't know that she
did. Yeah. That's how she got into acting.
Is she funny?
She was hysterically funny and quirky. I mean, she gets up there, she doesn't know quite what to do, so she drags a table from this restaurant up on stage and has this whole act that she just comes off the top of her head. She's really... I mean, all the comedians had their acts about, you know, that you've seen over and over and over. You know, I hate my wife, blah, blah, blah. But she just was so fresh and sort of an Andy Kaufman type of...
She is.
That's very neat.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, back to the show. Oh, these, I know, these just went on. Computer that I would never know how to use.
I know.
In real life.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Tony?
Yeah, I heard. We're gonna have to widen the search parameters.
The accent might be a mislead. Maybe he's not even British.
If we drop that parameter, the database will increase by a factor of almost 50.
That's 750 possibilities.
And a fair amount of those are missing reliable visuals. In other words, no headshots.
Like how I did that math in my head, just like...
Well, I thought that was great.
We're so smart.
Because we left a blank in the script, and he had to come up with it.
We can't figure it out. Maybe you can. Yeah, change it to presumed
dead. That Jack doesn't miss a trick.
I love the look on her face. Now, they had some pictures of people in the crew, didn't they? I remember there was one of... Oh, no, that was later on. They had gym costumes. Jack, you know this guy?
Yeah, it's Warren Beatty. Oh.
Yeah,
I know him. His name is Stephen Saunders. British intelligence lent him to CTU for a mission in Kosovo.
See, that's the great thing. It's such a great payoff for devoted fans to tie stuff back to the first season, yeah. You know, like that. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, and if you don't get the reference, it doesn't matter, but
doesn't
if you
matter.
Get it,
exactly.
It
it's a little payoff, yeah.
Hurry. Son of a bitch.
I'll have to squeeze that in at some point, son of a bitch. He's the only one that can say that.
No.
Do you say it?
I've said son of a bitch a couple times, but...
Yeah, but that wasn't...
It's just to get it in there.
Really?
That wasn't written. They don't allow me to say what I say in the set, so I gotta...
No. I want a reel. I want, like, a five-hour reel of you just
of my
cursing.
Screw-ups? Yeah.
Just your litany of...
One day, they have a pool on the set.
Yeah.
How many times I say, you know, the F word when I screw up during a day. And then Sound put together a rap song of at the end of the day of my...
People are familiar with that, and they know it was handled successfully. Mr. O'Loughlin.
Mr. President.
Please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Palmer.
11 vials of the virus are unaccounted for. What's Homeland Security's assessment?
Sir, we believe the threat level should be raised to red.
Do it. What about the...
Carlos is taking a cell phone call right now.
It's my pizza order.
Are we disturbing you, Carlos?
Yeah,
I got a pizza coming in.
Okay.
You guys can have some.
Good. That's better than allowing a widespread release. These guys are fantastic.
You won't be able to explain away with Legionnaires' disease.
We're talking about security issues, Mr. President. We are not talking about public relations.
And how the public relates to this is a security issue.
Mr. President, we'd also advocate shutting down interstate rail and bus traffic.
Pizza guy's really persistent.
I tell ya.
Tip him next time, okay?
We can't shut down every single highway.
Mr. President,
gentlemen, alert the airlines to a possible nationwide...
Are these guys about 4 feet taller than him?
They're about four
They're big
feet taller
guys.
than everybody.
Thank you, Mr.
No, they're fantastic. They, you know, DB plays this strong, hardcore character.
Yeah, he's...
And then it comes to... Who's a politician. I mean, he's really...
Well, he constantly has to strike a balance between the familiarity he has with Palmer as his brother,
yeah,
and the need to show deference and respect because his brother's a president, and I think he does a great job.
He does.
Walking
he does.
That line.
Now, I love that he holds up the phone and you see the scar in his hand. I love the fact that they never lose track of that
yes.
scar from season two. You know?
Well, I don't negotiate with heads of state, so just do as you're told.
Yeah, I thought, you know, having the brothers and all the relationships that were going on, when I first went into the season, I thought, oh, this is too much, too many relationships, too many people related, but it really did raise the stakes.
But that's what the season's about, it seems. The season's about how do you have relationships.
Of any sort.
Of any sort, and do your job.
Yeah.
And be able to do it well, and as we see towards the end of the season, it really hits the wall.
Yeah.
You really
find
people having to make tough decisions.
I think that's real from what I, you know.
And can we put our country ahead of our personal
absolutely.
Relationships?
We talked to CIA guys about the CIA just marry each other. And they said, yeah, there's no rule against it. It happens. Said, what happens if somebody gets assigned to a distant post or something? Well, they try to both get assigned to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you don't.
I met a woman over the last week who worked for CIA as an analyst in Langley, and her father was an analyst with the CIA. It was sort of a family job almost.
Wow.
And they could speak, they had this bond together because they could speak to each other about what was going on. They couldn't speak to anybody else about
it.
So they had this special sort of thing between the two of them.
Man.
My uncle was in the CIA, and my dad was in counterintelligence in the service, so they had that bond, you know, but none of us knew until he retired that he was with the CIA.
Oh, that's really? Very cool. Wow. That's very cool.
Who does this guy look like?
Gary Cole.
Yeah, we got his file up now.
British.
A little Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte, yeah. That's who it is.
Yeah.
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 Nick Nolte with an accent. These casting people are amazing. Debbie and Peggy, they're just...
I agree.
Even in the small parts, they just... And these are all actors. You just... Every time we have a show, people come up to me and say, who is that actor? How come I've never seen him before?
Mm-hmm. You never feel like you're watching TV. That's part of the reason why. Yeah,
and you really feel like, you know, who is that? And it's amazing that they're not huge stars. And the show doesn't rely on stunt casting.
Which is refreshing because these days, you know, I don't know about you, but I have so many actors who have worked a ton in the last couple of years because of all the stunt casting going on. They can't get in for roles except for like one or two line roles, and they've done huge guest star roles in the past, you know, it's so wonderful to see our show using actors that aren't stars, you know.
Yeah.
Doing these great jobs.
Starting to set up the quarantine or the testing right now. Michelle Dessler, CTU. There you go. I was really, I mean, not to say that I have any idea what a person would go through who's actually going through this, but I was pretty terrified throughout all of these scenes.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
To just think about being in that situation.
Or just,
And to have to act and feel it and make yourself feel it must be even creepier.
Well, to have all those...
Those things around you makes you feel...
Yeah, the real...
The suits, the curtains.
Yep.
And all these people. We spent so much time and we shot nights during this and... We got kind of close to these, a lot of the extras. Not close, but we, you know, we're in close quarters. And it was just so heartbreaking. They were really crying. They were really, you know, acting.
Yeah, no, it's...
He's one of my favorite characters, Aaron Pierce.
Yeah, we love him too.
So this is the way he intends to communicate from now on. And if we really can't trace the call,
we can't find him.
I love this element of the story, somebody taking control of the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It sort of pushes things to the max.
Yep.
Yes.
Good. You're using your new phone. Consider it our private line. And as you've no doubt been informed...
Yeah, there's always this public policy that there's no dealing with terrorists, but you wonder what goes on.
You know, there's... the more you read it... I'll tell you something. The more you read about the spy world, the more... I feel that you can't push it past the way it really is because it's really just as duplicitous and just as terrifying and just as nasty and just as ruthless as you could possibly imagine.
Absolutely.
Well, you think about how ruthless the business world is that you know of.
That's bad enough.
That's bad enough, right?
You're right. You're right.
Maybe for a wave of attacks.
Maybe it's just a signal to show that he's in control.
By the way, you can't do it. You can't give him that kind of power.
You saw what that virus does.
I read the file, yeah.
1,000 people are dying as we speak, Wayne. Not just in a file.
Yeah, I think this is an impossible situation for the president to be in or for anybody to be in. I think one of the things we try to do on the show is get to a place so that whether the character's Jack or the president or anybody else, put him in a position where... You just have no idea what you would do in real life in that situation. If you do that, the audience is always going to be with you because half the people watching may think, you can't negotiate with terrorists. And the other half may think, well, he doesn't have a choice. He's got to do it. And you want to be in that place where it's not clear what should be done.
And what's great about that also is that, you know, the president of the United States generally in our society and in films and television is always sort of built as this flawless human being, you know, who you have the utmost respect for. I think it's great to put him in situations where he makes decisions that you don't agree with and that you might change your view of that person, you know?
Well, we tried to push Palmer. I think this year one of our ideas was to, now that Palmer's, you know, in president, he's fully president of the United States, he's running things, make him face some of the things the presidents really have to face. And he's been such a, and we loved his nobility, and we weren't trying to tarnish his character. But if you take a character that's really noble and it really is a decent, good human being.
And you've built that ground.
And you, yeah. And you put him in an impossible situation and you see what it does to him.
And now he has this mark on his conscience.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is the beauty of it. I mean, you know, people, I think, generally speaking, like to think of themselves as highly principled, moral people.
That was a great line right there.
To see them have to get into that position, to be put in the position of making that decision themselves.
Yeah, yeah. There's no good way out, and what do you do? You got to pick the lesser of evils in your view.
Well, and we all, by the end of the day, we're different people.
That's, yeah.
And that's such a gratifying thing to play as an actor. I mean, I know when I started on the show, I was really the sort of the observer, you know, say coming in and saying, you know, I followed the rules and I'm looking at everyone going, you people are crazy.
Right.
And then to come back more seasoned that, you know, and I'm one of the people.
And now you got to start doing some of those crazy things.
Yeah.
That was great.
You know, today, when Michelle told Chappelle that I should stand down because of my wound, I barely even spoke to her.
Look, Tony, I can't tell you that I know what you're going through because I don't. But if you need anything, I'm here.
Kim.
Even though I'm a movie star.
Thanks.
I haven't seen her movie yet. I want to see it. I hear
it's great. It's
I hear it's. I hear she's great.
It's very funny.
Pauly.
I love doing scenes with him.
Yeah, he's great. You guys giggle like schoolgirls.
Oh, my God.
You
because I tell you why. In the middle of doing a scene with Paul, he plays this character so on the nose that I start to laugh because it's so perfect.
Yeah,
and, so we get into these, we get into these giggle fests because, you know, it's just right on.
We're at war, Tony. I need your full attention. If you can't give it to me, go home or maintain a vigil at the hotel. But if you stay here, I need you to focus. And the best way to do that is to assume the worst and make it about getting revenge. Now, what's it gonna be? Are you staying or not?
What do you need?
Nicely done. That was great.
It's the writing, really, Rico.
Yeah, it's... yeah, whatever I got to say. Now, it's so weird to do these DVD commentaries. I've only done one on another show, and you know, you sit around saying nice things about people that you mean, but, you know, you really only say these kind of things when you're at someone's funeral. Like, you know?
Which on this show is fairly...
yeah. Which may be. Get those rewrites for episode 24.
This is the thing, you know. I was just saying outside, we were talking, and I generally watch the show to watch the camera work, editing, and the music. And the music, in, you know, it makes it feel like you're watching a feature film.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Sean Callow, he's terrific.
He's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Whole other caliber.
Don't fire, I'm a federal agent.
So what, you're in my house.
Don't shoot, I just want to show you my identification.
The obligatory hooker.
With a gun.
Hooker with a gun.
Need to talk to you about Stephen Saunders.
Bastard.
Okay, I'm gonna put my gun down. Just take it easy.
Step out from behind there.
Okay, I'm coming out.
Braver man than me.
I know. Well, he knows Chase is.
Yeah.
Stay calm. I just want to talk to you.
Aha. Yeah.
Dressed first.
Go ahead.
Well, he can't let her out of his sight. He wants to be a gentleman, but his job requires him to do this.
Oh, yeah.
He plays it great, though, you know, because he gets a little nervous. I like it.
He's like, look at her eyes, look at her eyes. Figure
speech. We know you acquired intelligence from Stephen Saunders through your girls.
I provided. He's so good on this show, it's ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's beyond even saying sometimes because it's assumed because he's so amazing on the show, but you're so drawn in.
You will. Come on.
You know, I've always said he just raises the bar. And I think
he's fantastic. He anchors the thing in reality for everyone.
Oh, yeah. But I really think a lead actor, because the lead actor on every show I've been on really is the only person who deals with everyone.
Yeah.
Really the only person.
Well, he sets the tone on the show and I think on the set.
And on the set.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because he's behind this, you know.
I remember day one of the first season shooting of the pilot, and the very first scene, I remember him walking up, he checks the Rolodex, and the prop people, who are not the prop people now, had stuck a bunch of girly pictures in the Rolodex. And within the first 5 minutes of shooting, he stopped and he said, "All right, what's this?" He goes, "This isn't going to happen."
Really?
Yeah, because that's
so
it.
This
that's,
is not
going to
happen.
On
it's
going to
stay.
It's not the way the show is going.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was, and people were, and you, their faces just went white.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it didn't happen again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't advise that.
If I've been infected, I've been infected. There's nothing anyone can do.
No, because I've seen shows where it just, you're doing it for so long, they just.
Yeah,
you know, kind of let it go, and he never does.
No.
And everyone's got to be on their game.
What a great journey his character had during this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was nice at the beginning where everybody sort of yawned and said, "Oh, okay, another
Here
mole."
We go.
And it turns out not to be. Mm-hmm. But then he goes through a whole, you know, quite a trip, as you said. And he did a great job here.
Anything.
Contact my family and tell them that I love them. Tell them that I've died quickly. No pain.
Of course.
He did an amazing job at being noble without playing too stoic, you know what
I
mean?
Yes, absolutely. Without it being like
or being a martyr
histrionic or something. Yeah, he just felt real. And yet
or you, sorry for himself at all.
Yes, but you admired him so much.
Yeah.
And he brought in the guilt if I'd done it differently, you know.
Just, dedicated to his job.
Yeah.
I was raised to believe suicide is a sin.
I love that you guys put that in.
No one could blame you in this world or the next.
Well, we have the suicide pill thing coming up, and we want to. There's some people would, some people wouldn't.
Yeah.
You want to see both. You want to see both sides.
And that's something that everyone has an opinion on.
Of course. And again, it's nobody really knows what they would do.
Until you're there.
I hesitated just a moment because I was afraid. Then I forced myself to move forward. Only I hadn't hesitated, this might not be happening to me. To all those poor people upstairs.
You did everything you could. I'm proud to have worked with you. You're one of the bravest men I've ever known.
And I will make sure that your wife and children know that.
He even got this glassed over look in his eyes.
Yeah.
Far away look that, you know.
And I thought he did a really good job, Rako, of playing somebody who was, again, not, he didn't overdo it, but now you're thinking thoughts you never thought you would have. I'm going to help people kill themselves if they want to because of what's happened here.
Homeland Security has raised the threat level to red, and they're in constant contact with the FBI, set to move. If the sky is falling, it should trigger any kind of suspicious activity.
Is the FAA set to ground flights and close the airports?
David, I think that's an overreaction.
That was not my question.
Well, I love that the whole season takes place in 24 hours, so you really get the complexity of each situation and humanity of each situation, because we all have to kick into doing our job and being tough and competent, but to have the time to show the conflict and the vulnerability.
And the details of it, you know, that's what's wonderful about the format. It allows you to see the details.
It forces you, actually.
Exactly. You have to do it. And, you know, as an actor, I've always said as an actor, people are always talking about, isn't it tough to work on a show like this? But as an actor, you know, God truly is in the details. And you have to focus on every moment. And on television, usually, there's such a speed to it that you end up glossing over details, and in this show you cannot do it, and it makes it so much fun.
We and all those who love freedom will remain safe and secure. Thank you.
Mr. President, can I have a question, please?
Excuse me, this is not a Q&A session. The president has made a statement, and he has nothing more to add. Thank you very much.
One moment. Maybe a couple of questions.
Mr. President.
Bill.
Is the United States currently under attack?
This is a preventive measure.
What are you preventing, sir? And do you think the American public will accept the grounding of air traffic based on the rather vague justification you just given?
The exact nature of the threat is something I can't go into at this time.
The next episode, of course, just was preempted by a real presidential Q&A.
That's true. They're always copying us.
It's a lot less. Mm-hmm. The show, it's scary how prophetic this show can be.
You might want to think that through, Miss White. You think he put himself on the line like this for you?
We've begun vetting the raw data we collected on Saunders.
You sent it off to London yet?
No, it's still in our system downstairs. London wants to get as far as we can before transmitting.
Uh-oh. That's so cool!
Oh, no.
Oh. I was going to come watch.
The shaking of the windows before the helicopter got? I love that. Yeah. The sound of the windows shaking.
I mean, what show does this?
I don't think anybody said, I bet a helicopter's going to come up and attack this room.
You know, I remember...
Oh, this is brilliant.
I remember on one of our panel discussions, you talking about the fact that sometimes you guys just throw out the question, what could not happen?
And
then try to make it happen.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think this specific sequence, we knew there was going to be an attack, but the idea of having a helicopter come up was Tim Acofano's idea.
Is that right?
Yeah, the production guys came up with it, yeah. Mm. I forget what we had in there, but they said, well, we could do this. Or what do you think about a helicopter coming? And we said, we think that's great.
Again, you know, this this is such a unique thing. You know, you take... how often do you find television shows that take ideas from anybody who's offering them up? If it's a good idea, you guys use them.
Absolutely.
And it makes it, I know for myself, it makes it such a joy to work on, to know that it's truly a collaborative effort. It's a total team effort. And it makes you feel like such a part of it. You know?
No, I think it is that way.
Well, and you're writing a normal show is about there would be about six of these scripts in one show.
That's true.
You know, this is material for about six scripts on a regular show. I watched some of the episodes of Kiefer and Badge dealing with their guns. I'll have to see work on what I was.
How you were going to handle
sweeping through how I was going to handle the guns. And
Chase.
What?
We got a bomb.
What's great is on this show, you actually think it might happen. It might go off.
Yeah. Yeah, and does actually.
What if we... Yeah, I mean, but that sort of... We could lose Jack and...
That's the one thing. People think, okay, I'll do everything, but they won't get rid of Kiefer.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Uh-huh. Oh, you do this all the time on the show. I'm reading the scripts thinking, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Can you do this? With the virus, I was thinking, are you actually going to have people kill themselves? I remember the first time we shot this, it was Ian's last day. And first time we shot it, I pulled the cover, looked at Jesse, and then Sid comes out in a big chicken suit. I swear, starts consoling me. Full-size chicken. Well, man-sized chicken.
Almeida.
Tony, it's me. Kyle's dead.
And there's a man in a chicken suit trying to console
me. There's a guy in a chicken suit.
Suffering so badly. No one should have to go through what he did. Tony, there are children upstairs who are going to die in agony in front of their parents' eyes.
Michelle, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do for them right now.
Actually, there is. Field Ops has a supply of capsules.
Those capsules are for field agents that are captured.
Yeah, I know what they're for. They're for committing suicide to prevent torture, and that's exactly what they'd be used for here. We could make them available to anyone who's symptomatic. It would be their choice.
Again, the music, it's subtle, but just completely adds a...
haunting sort of...
Yeah.
Mass suicide facilitated by an agency.
And the lighting.
I'm talking about common decency. If you could have seen Gael... I'm calling because if it was me, if I'm infected, I know what I want.
This is one of those things that we just, if you push the logic of the situation as far as you can, I don't know what would happen in real life, but it seemed very plausible to us that somebody would start thinking about this. How can we help these people not suffer? And whether they publicized it or not or went through official channels, somebody might find a way to help these anybody who wanted to end it more quickly than the disease would end it.
And really bringing up the children.
Yeah, that sort of centers it.
They took out a woman that we believe had recent contact with Saunders. They also took out most of their personnel, including Thomas.
And after seeing Jesse's character, Gael...
Yeah, you don't blame anybody.
Suffer the way
he did. You certainly don't blame anybody who decides to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to follow the money trail. Narrowed it down to a few dozen offshore banks, but it's going to take some time.
Okay, look, one of the things that Saunders was trying to destroy was all the information that MI6 had gathered on him. I managed to retrieve the hard drive that has storing that information. I need you to call London, get their protocols, and I want you to assemble a team that's ready to start striping data off of this thing as soon as I get back.
All right, I'll put Chloe on it right away.
Okay.
Suicide capsules for the people down at the hotel. It's gonna get pretty bad down there.
It's against every regulation in the book.
Yeah.
doing.
That was great. Completely unexpected.
Yeah. A rare moment of humanity for Ryan Chappelle.
Well, in this episode. The next one.
Yeah, well, of course.
Amazing. The best thing I've seen.
As soon as we make him likable, you know he's...
he's a goner. I heard one of the things you were bouncing around for my demise, which I'm sure that goes around all the time. You just, you know, I knew going in, though, this, you know, if there's a good story...
Yeah, if we...
To take a person out, yeah. It's not personal.
No, exactly. It's almost, this is going to sound facetious, but it's a compliment.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
To get killed on the show, because it means we've built a character that we care about enough so that the death is going to mean something, as opposed to just killing convenient guest stars or, you know...
Although you do that, too.
We do that, too.
You can just hope for a good death. Oh, I hadn't noticed that before. Was Jack having a little fix there? Wanting a little fix there?
He played some of it. And just had that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't got that before because I wondered.
That's him. I mean, that's Kiefer not wanting to lose the.
Yeah, he really and he's amazing.
Any indication that the attack was triggered by what I said at the press conference?
David, we don't know what triggered the attack.
So it could have been what I said. How was the attack carried out?
By helicopter. And two men inside.
All right, so they have to land it somewhere. I want FAA to coordinate with Homeland Security and Border Patrol.
Right away, Mr. President.
What?
I enjoyed your press conference, Mr. President. It's good to know the sky's not falling.
What do you want?
To give you your next assignment. A sort of preliminary action to clear the decks before the main event to come. There's a man named Ryan Chappelle, regional director of CTU.
Yeah, what about him?
I wouldn't kill him.
Like I'm getting testy.
Have his body delivered to the train yard downtown, just off the main line.
It's out of the question.
What a shame. Before you decide, you might want to drop by the Chandler Plaza Hotel. Take a good look at what's happening. Then imagine the same event taking place at hundreds of locations all over the country.
You're insane.
What does he want? David.
Great music.
Yeah. Is the pizza here yet?
You know, they call me 3 times and they still don't deliver it.
Thank you very much for tuning in and go on to the next one.